December 10th, God gave me a message. Am I sat back there? Okay. On December 10th, God gave me a message for our church, and he's had me hold it until now. And I feel like this morning is the time for it. It's out of Nehemiah chapter 4, if you want to turn there. I'll give you a little background before we get to chapter 4. You know, I titled this, Will We Build This Church? But really the title is, Will We Build a Wall? Because in Nehemiah 1 through 3, chapters 1 through 3, get a little background that Nehemiah had received a burden on his heart. He had looked out at the people and seen the condition of the people. They were in affliction and bondage. And the house of God had been destroyed and just demolished. And there was no place for them to come together and worship and learn about God and praise Him. Nehemiah's heart was broken. And sometimes when we first start to see what is wrong with people, what's wrong in the church, it's because God is placing a compassion in our heart to do something about it. What He wants us to do is not tell all of our friends and gossip. He doesn't want us to go around saying, do you know what? I just know what Glenn's up to because God showed me and he's a wicked man. We need to get him out of here. I've seen his sin. No, if all of us were, you know, opened wide up and our sin exposed, we'd be scared to death of each other, I'm sure. But God always tells us when I'm showing you what's inside of my people, it is not to judge them. It is to rescue them. It's to love them. It's to begin intercession and pray that you can go in an enemy's camp and get them out. Nehemiah came into a burden for the house of God to be built again. But the house of God is not just bricks and stones. It's people. He wanted to build a place for the people of God. And it was there was a picture of it as being a building, and we need a building to get the people in. But it's not about the building. It's about the people. Nehemiah did not impulsively run out and start, you know, hiring a construction crew. Nehemiah went alone by himself and carried this burden before the Lord in prayer. He didn't tell anyone. He didn't share it with anyone. First, he went alone before God. Last night in our training class, we talked about God giving us a word for you as a minister. And you know what? We're all ministers. Whatever capacity, we're all ministers. And God gave him a word. When he gives you a word, he wants you to draw back, read the word, eat the word, digest the word, meditate on that word, cross-reference it, find all the scriptures, pray and let the Holy Spirit reveal that word. Spend some time internalizing it. So it's not only in your mind with understanding, it has to be in your compassion, has to hit your emotions, and it has to come into your spirit until it becomes a part of you. And then you will get a sending from God of what to do with that word. So Nehemiah had spent some time as the leader, finding out what God wanted him to do. Then Nehemiah invited people to join. Let's build a house for God. Let's get together and build God a house. This church began the same way. We carried a vision in our spirit, and God fed and nourished that vision, and he told us many prophetic things of what he wanted to do through this ministry. Awesome things. We've shared them with you, some of you. If you haven't heard them, just... you know, drop by, go out for dinner, we'll talk your ear off for a few hours and you can hear it all. God has great plans for this church. And this church is a training center to train ministers for God. We've been laying some groundwork. We've been preaching salvation. We've been preaching a little on character, getting into the Word, some of the basic, how can you be a minister if you don't even know God? You have to meet Him first and sign up and join up. So we've been laying some foundation. Some people have left. More people have come. That will continue to happen. But where we're at today, I believe where we're at today is building the wall. When the enemies of God heard that Nehemiah was going to rebuild the house of God, they laughed. They mocked and they laughed. You know, most average churches won't make it. The enemy doesn't even need to bring out his troops. Because all he has to do is laugh at you and mock you a little bit, and you'll quit. Most people will quit. So he just stood back and laughed a bit, as long as they're trying to build a church. Ha ha, they'll never make it. Until they started to build a wall. When they started to build the wall, the enemy took note. He started taking note. So let's look at chapter 4. Father, we pray that you will give us Matthew 23. I always do that. Matthew 13 hearts today. That you will give us ground and soil that is prepared to receive your word and to let it take root and to grow and to bring forth fruit. Prepare the listeners, Lord, and prepare me as I speak. Let your Holy Spirit anoint your words in the name of Jesus. Nehemiah 4:1. But, I love that word. And you know what? In this Bible that my daughter gave me, but it is capital. Is that all capitalized? No? That's funny. Mine says, but it came to pass. When Sanballat, he's their enemy, when he heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and he took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews. He was really angry they were going to build a wall, because a wall was a defense system. A wall was a protective surrounding around that work, that house of God, and he knew it would be harder for him to infiltrate if they start fortifying themselves and building a defense wall. He did not like it. Still, again, he thought mocking was a pretty good weapon. So, again, he tried to mock them. And when we start to do something for God, we will face ridicule, criticism. And, you know, when you get it from the unsaved people, you expect it. But you'll get it from the Christians. It's just really how the enemy gets inside of us. Your best friends, other churches, family members, we'll want to tell you, you're not doing this right. You can't do this. This isn't right. I remember when God called us, Harvey was in Bible college 9 years while I taught in a Christian school. I'd been married before. He never had. God had forgiven the divorce, put us together. We had a call on our life. When it was time and he graduated Bible school, I was going in for a major stomach surgery, and my son-in-law and my sister were the two that stood up and said, you guys can't be pastors because you're divorced. God will never honor what you're doing because you're divorced. And I so was convinced because it was people that loved me. It was people close to me. I was so convinced that here after all these years of preparation, I was going to go in surgery and die because Harvey couldn't go be a minister with me in his way. So when I was saved, I thought I was called to minister, but then the Baptist church told me women aren't called, you know, so I had already decided all I could do is follow him around and support his ministry, and that was okay. That's what I would do. When I woke up from that surgery the next morning, I was so shocked. I said, God, you had your chance to take me out, and you didn't do it. And the Lord spoke to me that morning and said, I have called you to ministry. Amen. And even if he died, you are still called to ministry. Amen. And no one is going to get in the way of that. So don't listen to them again. We had many attacks for that very issue. Many churches put us out for that very issue. Well, what are you going to do when God just keeps flowing anyway, you know? So, in verse 2, and he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria. Oh, mocking isn't working. I better get some people to help me destroy this work. So he goes to brethren, and he goes to an army. He starts forming an army to come against this work. What do these feeble Jews, what are these people doing, these little weaklings? What do they think they're going to do here? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? I just love that whole verse. Because this is what the enemy is saying to us. What do you think you're doing, weakling? You think God wants you? Do you think you can stand against my attacks? You have no idea what I'm going to bring against you. You'll never do this. I bet you all have quit in one day. We bring out a full attack, I bet you all fold up and go home. You'll make an end of it in one day. Are these little weaklings, do they know the sacrifices they'll have to make? You think they'll do it? I doubt it. What can stop them? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? That is my favorite verse in the whole chapter. Because you know where we are in these pictures over here? The first one is let my people go out of religion. Stop playing religious games. Stop playing church. Let my people go so they can really know me and serve me. But we've moved on to this one. The fire. The fire that is coming down here to burn away the rubbish. He's going to burn away the rubbish. And you know what? I welcome that fire. Go ahead and let him burn it. Because you know we're like bricks. We're supposed to be put together and mortared together so that we can't burn down. But a lot of times at this point, everybody is a separate stone. And we got rubbish all around us instead of mortar. So God just sends the fire in and starts burning it all down. And then what do we have? We have a mess. We have a pile of rubbish and stones are mixed in there. And he said, will they take the stones out of the rubbish? Let's do it. Let's burn away the rubbish and find the stones. Because you know what? You are not rubbish. Amen. You might have some rubbish in you that he's going to burn out. But you are a stone. Amen. And you're not just a common gray stone. You're a precious diamond reflection of God. Amen. You're a precious gem. You're a stone. Let all the rubbish burn away and find the stone. We're going to do that here to build a wall. We're not going to go out and buy new stones. We're going to start a fire, let it all burn, and we're going to start pulling those stones out.
Amen.
And then we're going to put them together in the proper way, the way a body should be put together.
Amen.
We're not going to have 15 heads and, you know, 10 legs. And we're going to find out where you fit on that wall, where you fit, that you can function.
Amen.
I love our ministry training class. I love this whole thing as a ministry training place. Do you know what I love? That God has told us that we are going to train people with a far greater call than we have, with a far greater anointing than we have, with more powerful gifting than we have. Well, you could get jealous about it. You could say, why not me, God? Why don't I get the big gifting? Why don't I have that big anointing? Why don't I have that big? Why can't I go be the famous one that does this? You know what? You wouldn't be happy doing somebody else's job.
Right.
When a hand tries to be a foot, it doesn't work.
Right.
A foot is like an evangelist. They go. A foot is a missionary. They go. I wouldn't be happy in Africa. I wouldn't be happy in Indonesia. I like home. I'm comfortable at home. And I don't mean that everything I do is comfortable. It's not. Believe it or not, I'm a shy person. When I first started church, I stayed in the back. I came in late and I left early so no one could speak to me. I did not like people to touch me or speak to me. I had no intention of ever standing in front of people. The first ministry I got into was death work. I didn't even have to talk over there. Use my hands. I didn't even have to think of what to say. I just interpreted what the preacher said. I was happy over there in that deaf corner. Unnoticed. Well, it was noticed. Even that was hard for me because you're standing up and you're moving your hands and all the people are watching you. You know, so it was a stretch for me. So it's not that you look for your comfort zone. You find your call. You find your
right.
call. But when every person is doing what they were created to do, you will end up loving what you do.
Yes.
Because you were created to do it. Nothing
right.
else can make you happy.
Right.
Nothing else can satisfy you.
Right.
Nothing. All my life, my family said, why do you keep starting things that you don't finish? And I said, because I like the challenge. I love all the problems. But as soon as I solve the challenge and problems and it's running smooth, I'm bored with it. I want to go find some new challenge. I thought that was a fault in me. It's not. It's my gifting.
Right.
I get to help others plant churches. I get to help them. You know what's really exciting? I wish Scott was sitting right there because I love him for the example. He always wanted to own a horse ranch. But then when he got saved, he wanted to be a preacher. Evangelistic type preacher. When I meet people, I ask them, what did you dream of when you were a child? What did you always want to do? Just what lit your fire? What were you excited about? And usually people, if they're at least 30, will say, doesn't matter, never did it. Or I gave it all up for God. Or I'm too old now, it's not going to happen. I love that God lets those dreams die. But then, in the fullness of time, he's going to take those childhood dreams, all those things you wanted to do when you grow up, and he's going to join them to your ministry call, and they're going to blend. They're going to blend together. Our dreams are going to come true. And I don't care how old you are, because he's going to bring youth renewal, and he'll just renew your body and make you able to do it. So don't give up on your dreams. I love that we're stoned, and I love that the fire has burned us here. We've been burnt. Has anybody in this place been burnt by the fires that have come here on this work? We've had heavy-duty fires to start this work, real heavy-duty fires. We've had heavy-duty testings here, haven't we? We had to kick our own son-in-law out of here. God has put us to the test. Will you be partial to your own family? No. This is God's house, and God is first. And the reason it's going to work is because the leadership here, as we form the leadership here, is going to be formed with people that have already decided to die. Amen. Already decided nothing's going to stop us because we're going to give God anything he wants. Amen. We don't care if they kill us. We don't care if they torture us. We don't care if they burn the building down. We'll meet in the parking lot. We'll go meet in a house. We'll meet in cars. We'll go into secrecy. We're not going to be stopped here, no matter what the enemy does. It's not going to happen. Will they fortify themselves? Will they fortify themselves? How do we fortify ourselves? Fortify means to build up your strength so that he can't break through. How do we fortify ourselves? You know, I see a lot of churches that are demon chasing. They're so mad, I think their heads are going to blow off sometime. You got to get out of here, devil. You ain't got to get these. You know what? That's anger. That's in the devil's camp. Right. He has anger. He has rage. He has accusation. He has criticism. Those are his weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the power of God to pulling down of strongholds. What are God's weapons? Love, mercy, kindness, unreasonable love, unending love, unconditional love. That does not mean we love the devil in here and let him do what he wants. No, we love God and hate the devil. But we love God's people out of his grip.
Right.
When we see the devil in them, we go into prayer, we go into war, we get them set free, and we do it with love. Love that gives away a car. Who gives away a car? Do you see the world giving away cars just for no reason? Oh, poor guy, you need a car. Take mine. You don't see that. It takes the real love of God to move us to do what's unreasonable.
Right.
And when, you know, the whole world is aching and hurting and begging to be loved, and when we let that love flow to them, it will set them free. It will break their bondages. It will. It'll prove the reality of God. They'll be sitting there scratching their head. Why would he do that for me? That's not reasonable. That makes no sense. Why would he do that? Why would a businessman hire somebody that obviously can't do the job, and then God would move on his heart and say, oh, just keep him anyway and overpay him. He needs someone to take care of him. That's not reasonable. And that's God's love that just breaks past people's defense systems and says, it's got to be God. God must love me. You know, all the gifts of God are not for our amusement. They're to win the lost. They're to break through. Our gifts, we have prophecy. It's not just a gift. It's a weapon with a purpose.
Right.
We had a young lady come in church one time, a teenager, sitting in a corner, arms folded. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to receive. God's not real. And if he was, he wouldn't care about me. I said, God, I need a prophecy. I need a word, something about this girl no one in the world knows but you, so that she knows that you know her and you're real. And he said, go and tell her that I love her and I want to cuddle her in my arms like she did her kitten when she was a child. And when I told her that, she started weeping and said, no one knew about that kitten. I told that kitten my secrets. I loved that kitten. When I was hurting, I shared it all with my kitten. No one knew about that kitten. Nobody could know but God. He must love me. He was there. He saw me. See, it has a purpose to reach into people.
Amen.
It's not just so you can stand up and predict the future and everybody can go, oh, what an awesome prophet, you know the future. Most of us wouldn't do anything about it if we knew the future. The only reason he tells us the future is to get us ready for it.
Amen.
So usually he's telling us what is coming. Now you want to be a part of it? Get ready. Get ready.
Right.
Get ready. There's a purpose in every gift. They're not to show off with. There are weapons. There are weapons. And if we will fortify ourselves with the love of God. I can't switch to Ephesians, favorite book. But if you would read Ephesians, rooted in the love of God. Rooted and grounded in the love of God. That we might know the love of Christ. That we might be filled with the fullness of God. You want the fullness of God? You got to know the love of Christ.
Right.
That's how you get it. How do we get to know the love of Christ? You just have to want Him and put yourself before Him and say, here I am, I want to know you. If you really want to know Him, He will show Himself to
That's
you.
Right.
He'll do it. Will they make an end in a day? If there is something that can stop you, it will stop you. If there's something that can stop you, the enemy knows it, and he will use it. And you know what? We do it all the time. He finds a way to stop us. We trip, fall on our face, and we quit. But you can't fail a test with God as long as you want to stay with God. You just get to keep retaking it
right.
until you finally get it. I bet there's some tests we've taken 500 times before we finally passed them. But the question from God is not, how many times did you fail that test? I mean, you're a real flunky. You need to get out of class. No. How do you feel about your life? Are you happy? Do you like it? Doesn't matter. What, in the end, do you feel about God? What is your choice about God?
There you go.
I still choose you. I still believe you. I still trust you. You are still my choice.
Yes.
As long as you're saying that, He'll keep taking you through again and again and again until you get it right. He's such a good patient teacher. Such a good patient teacher. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Will we revive one another? Will we see the value in each other and revive one another? Yes, we've been burnt. We've been damaged. We've been hurt. Will we pick each other up and rebuild each other? And come together, find out who you are, how you fit, and get in your place and function in your anointing. Function as you should function. Jealousy is a tough thing in ministry, especially in music. And I wonder sometimes if that's why we don't have a worship leader, because it just might mess everything up. I really wish we had one that just lived at the heart of God and brought the singing of heaven down here and drew us into God's presence. But for now, God hasn't let us have one, maybe because He's still working on them, getting ready, and that one isn't quite ready yet. But we're still praying for that. We're not willing to just put anyone in the position because it would be more fun. Not happening.
Right.
We have positioned people and removed them quickly because it wasn't what... And good people, but it was a different anointing than what God wants here.
Right.
It just didn't work. We had a worship leader one time. He was there for a little while. Still loved the man. Great man of God.
Yeah.
But one day he said, what's wrong with your people here? They don't get up. They don't get involved. I get so disgusted with them. And he just went on and on and on with what was wrong with the people. He left and we looked at each other and said, he's out. He doesn't love the people. No wonder he can't get them involved. He doesn't love them.
Right.
He's mad at them. You can't lead worship in anger. Stones can't be burned up. What is of God that He created you in His image cannot be burned up.
Right.
It will endure the fire. So everything that is getting burned up in you, let it go.
Yes.
What's of God won't go. What is solid after the burning? What's left? Let's pick them up and build a wall. Let's look at verse 3. That nasty old devil. Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him, and he said, even that which they do build, if a fox would go up, he should even break down their stone wall. He says, okay, fine, we haven't stopped them. They're going to build a stupid wall. But even if they do, if a fox would go up in the wall, we could stop them. Foxes are sneaky. They sneak in on you. The enemy will sneak people in here who don't love God, who are just in here to cause trouble. We need to learn how to watch for them and not let it happen. Someone starts coming to you talking about the other members, talking about the pastors, talking about each other. Don't receive it. Don't let a bitterness enter you. Don't start criticizing. You got a problem with the leadership? Come to us and get in our face.
Amen.
We might not agree with you, but then you get to go home and the Holy Spirit starts working on us. You planted a seed, and eventually, He's pretty good at it, He'll get through to us. And again, when you're a child and God gives you parents, they're not always right. You got to submit anyway. It's God's plan.
Amen.
Parents get to lead. Children have to obey. And that doesn't mean the parents are always right. Jesus' parents were not always right, but He had to obey them.
Right.
The church is the same way. God handpicks the leadership, and it's like an umbrella over you of protection. It does not mean they're smarter than you. Doesn't mean they're more anointed or gifted. Doesn't mean they're always right. But they still get to be the authority. And God on purpose will offend you through them. On purpose. It's part of your training to be offended by your leaders. To find out if you'll submit. To find out if you'll pray for them. To find out if you'll confront them in love. To find out if you'll trust God by doing it His way and submitting. You'll never be a good leader if you're not a good follower. We have been abused to the max by church leadership. Absolutely. Stopping God in His tracks, won't let us minister. We went to a church God made us go to. I didn't like it. But we submitted. And I went in and said, I'm a Christian school teacher. Can I help you out in your school? No, we don't need you. I wrote and directed plays in the school and church. How about some drama? Don't need it. I led ladies' Bible studies. No. How about soul winning? We take people. Despised, turn their reproach upon their own head and give them a prey in the land of captivity for a prey. Cover not their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. This is kind of I used to have a hard time with that prayer, that you would actually pray bad things on a person. It used to be difficult for me to understand until I met up with a preacher molesting children. And I found myself praying that way. Oh, God, punish that man. I think you ought to kill him today so he can't get anybody else. And I prayed some hateful prayers that day. And then God said at the end of it, what if he were your son? Oh, forgive him, Lord. Bring him to repentance. It changed my heart in a hurry. What if it was your son? We can begin to pray for people different if we look at it as though, what if the one you love did the same thing? 6. So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. These people had a mind to work. They had made a decision that we are going to do this. And determination and choice is awesome, but it's not enough. Having a mind is not enough. Having a decision and a choice and determined is still not enough. It's going to take God. It's going to take walking so close to Him. I have run forward in determination, take 2 steps and fall on my face time after time after time. Diets are a good example every Monday morning. I will do this. I'm just going to do this. And by 2 p.m, I'm not doing it anymore. Oh, I'm hungry now. I'll do it tomorrow. Determination won't take you very far, but it's a good start. Just be determined that you're going to walk close to God. You're going to do it His way. You're going to follow His instructions. He's going to be the power in His grace. See, when His grace is there, it doesn't mean it's easy. It just means it's possible.
Right.
Just means it's possible. If you stay in grace, you can do it. Verse 7, but, there's that word again, but, they had a mind to work, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the wall, hear how many people He's gathered up now? They heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped. Then they were really angry. Hey, we had some breaches, but they plugged them up. They fixed them. They repaired. This is getting serious here. And they conspired, all of them together, to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. They said, okay, we're going to have to join together and get a bigger army. New levels, new devils. Every time you get a breakthrough into a new place with God, you'll get a new attack, a different kind of attack.
Right.
They'll try something else on you.
Right.
Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God, and there is
go.
The strength, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Watchmen on the wall. Watchmen on the wall. The wall alone wasn't even enough. Watchmen had to stay on that wall and watch. What's coming? Prophetically, God, what's coming? How do we prepare? Let's run in and warn the leaders. We see what's coming. Watch for the good and watch for the bad. We need watchmen on the wall. Currently, that's a little bit weak here, but prayer preceded setting those watchmen up. And I'm asking you, church, to pray. Pray that we know who the watchmen are, that they are trained, and that they are set on the wall. This church needs watchmen.
Right.
A lot of them left, kind of watchless. I mean, God anoints us to fill the gap until someone comes, but still, leaders do that. They fill the gap until someone steps in. But when that one anointed to that position steps in, it's powerful.
Right.
So please pray God points them out and sets them up here. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish. So they were not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, that now the Christians are complaining, okay? Our enemies have said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease. I see here that the enemy begins to speak into the individuals, and the individuals are listening. They're giving him ear, and they're complaining about what he's saying. The enemy's going to get us, and he's not going to give up until he slays us. I'm a little worried about this. They're starting to get scared. And it came to pass when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all the places you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. The enemy doesn't give up easy. He keeps badgering them. He keeps badgering them 10 times. Badger, badger, badger. And it's the Christians that are running back to the leader saying, but he said it 10 times. But he said it 10 times. He's not going to give up. And every time I have to fight with him, I feel so weak, and I don't like fighting with him. And if he's not going to back off, how many times have you battled for something with him? And then he strikes you again. You can't give up. You have to stand face to face with him and say, one of us is going to back off, and it's not going to be me.
Amen.
It's going to be you.
There you go.
We pray for something. We don't get it immediately. We stop. I guess God said no. I guess that's not going to happen. If he put it on your heart to pray for it, don't give up.
Amen.
I prayed 30 years for my uncle to get saved. I'm sorry, 20. I think it was right. Oh, yeah, about 20. I prayed about 20 years for my uncle to get saved before he finally did. Well, I didn't quit. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. God, he resisted you last time you visited him, but please go visit him again until he finally accepted the Lord.
Amen.
13, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. Time for strategy. The enemy is coming up with new attacks. We have to be aware of those attacks and come up with a strategy. How are we aware? Prayer. Wednesday nights, we're meeting, we're praying. Wednesday night is just to pray for this work so that God can tell us what's coming and give us the strategy that we need to defend the work here and to move it forward. We have to have a strategy. Who's appointed? Where are they appointed? What should they do? How do we know? Prayer, intercession, time with God. How can you build a church without spending time with God on the subject of building that church?
Right.
We have to have people that care enough to build this place, to get on the wall, to get on the wall with us and pray for this work. 14. We're almost done. And I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren and your sons and your daughters and your wife and your houses. He said, why are you afraid of them? Don't you remember how great and terrible your Lord is?
Amen.
You are on the Lord's side.
Right.
So get up and fight. 15, and it came to pass. When our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to nothing, that we returned, all of us, to the wall, everyone to his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work. The other half of them held spears and shields and bows and the habergons, I'm not sure what that is, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They set up a plan. They set up who could do what. Everybody got in their right position and it started to work.
Amen.
They that built on the wall and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work and the other held a weapon. Here's the balance. Here's the balance. Some churches start fighting the enemy and that's all they talk about and all they do. They become devil chasers. The enemy is coming and all they focus on the enemy, and you'll hear it because when you pray with them, they don't worship the Lord anymore.
Right.
Everything is focused on we're worshiping, we're silently waiting, and they're seeing the enemy every time. Enemy, 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 enemy. I have sat in prayer groups and begged God, show me, God. Is this person still in an intimate relationship? Are they still safe? Let me hear just one time come out of their mouth, Jesus, I love you. Lord, you are beautiful. Let me hear worship just once. And never, for months and months, all I hear is, chase the enemy, beware of the enemy. Soft balance.
Right.
And only focusing on what I am doing for God is off balance. You have to see the enemy.
Right.
You have to have the work of God in one hand and the sword in the other to be ready.
Right.
The focus is what God wants, with an eye on the enemy, not to stop it.
Right.
Stay balanced. You have to stay balanced.
Amen.
And I said to the nobles, I skipped one, 18. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. That's important. Hold on to that. And I said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from the other. As the work grows, people begin taking their individual mission, and they may move away from the main part of the body. They may go start another church. They may go start a church in their home. They may go to the jail ministry. We get farther away from each other as individuals are sent on missions. And we're not as close. We're not as protected. So the man with the trumpet stood at home base and he told the people, when you hear the trumpet, come back. We get together. And that is a great and powerful revelation of God. You will go from here and start ministry. And go on mission. But if you keep a home base, you keep a network of other ministers and a home base, when the alarm is sounded, you can all come back together and be strong. Confirm what God's saying. Join up. What if your ministry over here is weak in one area and some other soldiers can come in there and strengthen that up for you? You have a network of ministries helping support each other. That the trumpet simply means stay in touch. Stay within shouting distance so that when we call us together to unify and we stay unified of one heart, you hear the call. Don't become a lone wolf.
Amen.
Don't become isolated
right.
from the body. Don't isolate yourself in your work. Don't get so caught up in your work you're not a part of the big picture anymore. Don't let it happen. In that place thereof, you hear the sound of the trumpet. Resort ye thither to us. Come back. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I to the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off to wash them. In other words, they stayed ready. They stayed ready. They didn't let themselves be caught naked and vulnerable by an attack of the enemy. They stayed prepared. I believe we're at the point of building a wall here. I know we're a very small work still. And if everybody were here on the same day, there might be 40. But we're a very small work. But it's time we begin to build a wall. It's time we begin to build that wall, that we get fortified, that we get strong. And I think that's what God has for us. The Lord gave me a little encouragement at the end. He said, "You are a stone. You're not rubbish. You can be separated. Maybe you feel fallen and alone and unsure of where you do fit. Maybe you feel like you've been burned up with the rubbish, but you are a precious stone. You're a gem. You are indestructible like a diamond. You can be cut and shaped, but never can the fire destroy you. It can only improve you. It can only purify you. So allow the Master to pick you up from the ashes and place you exactly where you belong. And there, in a proper setting, you can shine and reflect His glory brilliantly. In a proper setting, mortared together, we can make a wall. Members of the body set in order create a beautiful work of God. And when we all try to set ourselves where we want, we create a distorted monster."
Yeah.
So let's be a beautiful body and not a distorted monster. Psalm 78, 32 through 41. "Many times the people quit and they turn back. How's your record for giving up and turning back?" I know I've done it lots of times. Determination's not enough. Just determine to stay near God. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. As long as you don't quit, you'll eventually win. So stick close by God and never give up. Rest in Him and what He's doing. Just depend on Him. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We pray You bless it. We pray that You begin to point out to us who the watchmen are. And Lord, that we will all have a sword in one hand and our mission in the other hand. And,
yes.
And most of all, keeping our eyes focused on You and in the intimacy of relationship with You.
Yes.
We love You this morning, Father, and we're giving this time over now. We're going to play some music. We're going to worship You quietly. And Father, as You lead, we'll pray for people if You want that. And we just love You, Lord, and this is Your church. We invite You to do whatever You want to do here today. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.